All right, everybody. Well, I want to welcome you to tonight's call and some great stuff that we have and great stuff that we want to share and go over. Tonight is where I'm going to share with you seven principles of owning your goals and your day. These are seven key principles that I've learned in my life, not only living them and practicing my life, but one of the things that I've learned in studying successful people and being able to have some relationships with successful people where I learn the ins and outs of their life and how they do things, because I'm always asking questions and trying to discover that, is that there are some things that they all have in common when it comes to goals in their life and when it comes to being able to own their day and have responsibility over their day. So what I'm going to share with you tonight works, whether it's at the beginning of a new year, whether you're looking at your life in term of a new season or a changing season, if you're looking at your life maybe in terms of you're transitioning from, you know, one quarter of the year to the next quarter of the year, if you're looking at your personal life, you're looking at business life, you're looking at, you know, business goals, whatever it may be, these principles, you're going to find that you can use them in a plethora of different ways. So what we're really going to talk about tonight, we're going to talk about goal management. These seven principles are going to help you with goal management, which is really the bigger problem that people have. We learn a lot about goal setting. Every one of you on this call are familiar with, you know, goal setting and elements of goal setting. But this is the problem. It's not goal setting that makes you successful. It's goal management that makes you successful. And while a lot of people set goals and they have a sense of a feeling of success, they don't really experience the success that they want to. And the real breakdown comes in goal management, being able to manage goals. That's why most people, the goals they make or the resolutions they make, you know, in 6 months statistically, they just kind of abandon. They abandon looking at those goals. They abandon thinking about those goals. They abandon recording those goals or working on those goals. So whether it's New Year's resolutions, which start, statistics show, start fizzling out mid-January and fizzle out, you know, mid-February. And by that time, people that weren't serious about resolutions and new goals, they're just going to fizzle out and they're not going to happen. It's the same thing with just regular goals. Even if you're setting, you know, you're setting goals in May, you know, for the month. You're setting goals for your business, you know, for the second or third quarter of the year or for your ministry for the last half of the year. One of the things that we find becomes the big defeater of people and a big defeater of success is not the fact that they didn't brainstorm through some goals or have some goals. The problem is they didn't create a way to manage those goals, and they didn't manage those goals to completion. One Harvard study I'm familiar with, it says that, you know, it talked about 60% of businesses in America that fail for one common reason, which is they had a poor strategy. The business failed, or whatever the venture was that they had, it failed. And the number one reason, percentage-wise and statistically, is that they had a great idea. They just didn't have a good strategy. And so that may be the place you kind of find yourself in, and it, you know, can contribute some to a circular type living. And so as you're really wanting to, you know, this transformation process to work in your life, one of the things that you have to really look at and grab a hold of if you're going to direct your life and direct your destiny and begin to direct your flow and direct your momentum, is that you're going to have to realize that you have to have a strategy for goals, not just goal setting, and that strategy is goal management, learning to manage goals and manage those goals to completion. And so there's a lot of things that we could teach on that subject and a lot of things that we could talk about. And so as I kind of just brainstorm through this teaching, what I've just kind of pulled to the surface is seven of these principles that I believe really can help you begin to really own your goals and own your day while you're trying to own your life. Because you can, you know, discover all of these great things about yourself, discover what your focus ought to be and what your flow ought to be. But if you don't start developing strategies to direct that in a very successful and focused way, then you're going to find yourself just living in the same circular life with some new information. Same circular living, you just have maybe some new awareness about yourself. And actually what's going to happen is it's going to become more frustrating. And the reason it's going to become more frustrating is because you become aware of yourself, and aware of life in a different way, you know, through a process, a growth process that you've gone through. And now what's going to happen is if you live some of the same old circular living, you're going to either become, you know, more frustrated and more discouraged because you're not going to be able to see that come to a fruition. Okay, so let's talk about that. So the first thing we want to talk about here is principle number one. Principle number one is this, is you've got to get clarity. You always have to get clarity. Before you sit down and just start penciling all of these grand ideas and trying to think of, okay, what goals could I have and what goals should I have for this season of my life or for this new year or, you know, for this quarter, you really need to sit down, back up. And the first thing you have to do is you get clarity, because the power of getting clarity is you start to harness your brain energy in the right way. Because your brain, remember, it flows in a certain way. It's triggered in a certain way. How it affects your thinking and how you think differently based on your unique life dynamic. Now, this is one of the things we know and understand from neuroscience, is that neuroscience shows that our brain is wired to constantly be looking for a goal. We're just wired that way. Our brain is wired, and so it's always looking for a goal. So whether we're driving and it's looking like for the next mile marker or the next goal, whether we're doing something on a daily basis, whatever it is, our brain is wired to always be looking for a goal. So God has divinely wired us to constantly be looking ahead. He's wired us with vision. He's wired us with goal setting is a natural part of us. And so if your brain is already wired and constantly working in that mode, what you have to learn to do is harness what it's doing and harness that energy in a very directed and focused way. So your brain is telling you that it wants to accomplish. Your brain is telling you that it's wired to accomplish. It's constantly telling you that. What you have to do is learn to harness that and get clarity on what is it that you want to harness, so that you can harness it and that you can direct that flow and direct that brain energy. So that's what goal setting and goal management's all about. It's about taking and owning that and like harnessing that energy, the power of all that energy, into a very directed way that can lead to your success. So I'm going to give you three key things here. And really, there are three key questions, and then I'm going to explain each of these questions. So here's three key questions that I believe you can ask yourself. I ask myself these that can help you to set the right kind of goals and to manage those goals. So here's the first question. The first question, so that you can get clarity, that's what we're trying to do, so that you can get clarity, here's the first question. What am I trying to achieve? I mean, you have to really sit down and ask yourself that. Like, right now in my life, like this season, this quarter, this year, right now in my life, what am I really trying to achieve? Okay? And the way you do that, the way you start answering the question is this. You start with, what is life already showing to you and trying to say to you? Like what is it already saying and showing? In other words, you don't try to look for a goal and pull a goal out of thin air or pull a goal out of something based on what you read or what everybody else is doing or what would be a cool idea. The best way to set goals and to manage those goals and to really own it, have ownership of it, is for you to stop and get clarity on what is it that life is saying to you and showing you. Because this is the thing you need to know and understand, and you know, if you've been in my teaching before, you've heard this, is that, you know, God and the universe are conspiring for your good. They're conspiring together to accomplish. In other words, God has purposed some things. He's created universal laws. They have to obey that. And those universal laws are all working together for your good. They're all working together towards that divine plan, that divine destiny in your life. So at any given time, you need to figure out, what is it that's rising to the surface? What is it that's being pushed up in my life right now? What is it that God and the universe and circumstances and universal laws and situations, what is it trying to push to the surface right now? Because whatever it's trying to push to the surface right now is really what I should be working on achieving. That's really what I need to be working on. I need to be focusing on that. And so a great way to do that, for instance, if you're setting, you know, goals for the new year, is you look back at the last year. You kind of look at the last year and you ask yourself, you know, what was good and what was growing and what was gaining? What was good? What was growing? What was gaining? What was producing? What seemed to have energy? What seemed to have the, you know, the touch of the divine on it? What seemed to have, like, it was working, it was beginning to emerge, or it was unflowing, or it was going to the next stage, or it was feeling good, or it was feeling like it was coming together. So that helps you to figure out what is being pushed to the surface. And then here's what you do. Whatever is being pushed to the surface, that's what you build on now in these new goals, so to speak. You build on it. So you don't reinvent the wheel. You don't, like, come up with some new goals or new things. What you do is you build on that. You may come up with a new level of that, a new ways of doing that. But what is it that's being pushed to the surface? What is it that's sending to the surface? And that helps me to know, what is it that I'm really trying to achieve? Because what good is it going to do me to set these goals and manage these goals if I really don't know what it is that I'm really trying to achieve? And don't just try to figure that out on your own, in your own mind, or by looking around at everybody else. Try to look below the surface and see what is divinely and destinally, what is being pushed up, okay? And so then do more of that in a more focused way. So figure out what those things are, and then do that in a more focused way. In other words, get that, this is going to be your big yes, and it's going to give you your easy no. Because this is what we know. 20%, you know, of our efforts are giving us 80% of our results. So 80% of what's working in your life, 80% of what's giving you meaning, 80% of what's fulfilling, 80% of what is good and growing and gaining is actually been the result of 20% of a few things in your life, 20% of your, you know, habits, activities, relationships, investment, all of those things. So what you want to do is you want to build on that. What has been producing that in your life? And what you want to do is you want to take that to the next level, take that to the next place, go to the next level. So this is the problem with a lot of people who, you know, set goals but then abandon those goals or don't come out. They try to come up with new goals out of thin air instead of coming up with building on the momentum or the momentum that they already have. So what is the momentum already there? What is the momentum? Now what I want to do is I want to build off of that. I want to, now as I move into this new year or this new season or quarter or whatever it is when I'm setting this goal, I want to build off of the success. So there's going to be some things that I'm going to say no to. It's just not producing for me. It's just not there. It's just not good. It's just not happening. And here are the things that they're happening. They're rising to the surface. That it may not be all I want, and it may not be huge advancement sometimes, but you can see it's growing and it's gaining and it's good. Okay. So the first question is, what am I trying to achieve? Then you can ask yourself the second question is, why am I trying to achieve that? Like, to get clarity, you have to ask yourself, why am I trying to achieve that? I may know what it is I'm wanting to achieve, but I need to back up and I need to ask myself, why am I trying to achieve that? And then just keep asking why. Like, why do I really want that? Like, why do I really need that? Like, why does that really need to be? Because that helps you get clarity. And that clarity, what this question does for me, it helps me determine my real priorities. It helps me determine what are the real priorities, what are the big things, what are the most important things that I ought to be working on. And so I've learned this. Listen to what I'm going to say. I've learned that why power is more powerful in accomplishing goals than willpower or work power. You can have all the willpower in the world. You can pump yourself up. You know, it's a new year. It's a new time. I'm really going to do this. And you can get all this willpower, and you can get all this work power. I'm really going to get into this, and I'm really going to get organized, and I'm really going to do this. But those things are not as powerful to your momentum as your why power. And asking yourself, why am I trying to achieve that? Because it helps change activity so that you're just doing what is the most important. It helps you to figure out, like, what is the cause? That's what you're asking yourself. You know, when David goes up to against Goliath, they ask him, you know, why are you doing this? And he said, is there not a cause? And in other words, I've got to ask myself, what is the cause of why I'm going to be exerting all of this, you know, effort and energy and putting up with certain things and all of this? You know, what is the real why? What is the real why? And so that helps you kind of understand that purpose, you know, behind the goal. What is the purpose behind the goal? In other words, that why will help you figure out, like, what is my life going to look like, or what are things going to look like when I achieve that? And when you think about what is my life going to look like when I achieve that, then it helps you to figure out, do I really need to be working on that? Do I really need to, is that the most important thing that I could be investing in? Because I can invest in everything. Like, so what's the most important thing? So first question, what am I trying to achieve? Second question, why am I trying to achieve that? And here's the third question I ask myself. Then I say, how can I achieve that? Now, how can I achieve that? Now that I got my priorities and I know what and why I'm going to achieve, then I say, now, how can I achieve that? And that helps me develop a strategy. Because here's a revelation for you I learned from one of my mentors. A goal is not a strategy. Just because you have a goal, you don't have a strategy. A lot of people think, oh, goal setting, now I have a strategy. No, you just set a goal. You don't have any strategy. A strategy is, how am I going to achieve that? How am I going to achieve that in my life? And so then what happens is you start to prepare yourself mentally and spiritually and organizationally and resource-wise and time-wise. That starts to bring all of those things together to figure out what the strategy is in order to do that. So we'll talk a little bit more about strategy in a moment, okay? So first principle is I got to get clarity, because clarity is going to help me, you know, harness my brain power and my energy. Second principle is this: make incremental progress. Make incremental progress. Here's a big problem with goal management for people. They try to make big leaps or grand ideas, instead of just making incremental progress. And what I mean by incremental progress, I mean this. Just think, what is the next step to the next step? What is the next step to the next step? So here's a little saying I have, something I use in my mind is this. Dream big, but do small. Dream big, but do small. Have big, huge dreams. And you know me. I mean, I have big, huge dreams. Have big, huge dreams. But the key to seeing big, you know, dreams come to pass is doing small, incremental, step-by-step things. And so just back up and start to think in terms of steps. What's the next step to the next step? You know, and think about this now. The first step always begins with you, like with you and who you are. That's the first step. The first step doesn't begin with doing anything with anything. It starts with doing something about you. Because think about this. Your best thinking, I heard someone say that, your best thinking has gotten you to where you are right now. And either it was good thinking or it was bad thinking. But your best thinking has gotten you to where you are right now. Now ask yourself this question, will that thinking get me to the next level? Or am I going to have to do something to change some of that thinking? This is another thing to consider. Your best habits have gotten you to where you're at, good or bad. Wherever you're at in life right now, it's your habits that you've been routinely doing that have gotten you where you are. So you may be happy about some of those, but then you have to look at others and say, these habits got me to where I didn't want to be. And so now ask yourself this. It's great. Now, those habits are all great as long as you plan to stay where you're at. As long as you think where you've come to and where you've arrived is it, and you're happy with that, and you're happy with that level, and you're happy with that success, then keep the same habits. But if you're not, and you want to go some to the next level, then what you have to do is you got to ask yourself, okay, my habits have only gotten me to where I'm at. Now what I've got to do is I've got to get to where the next place is. Got to get to where the next place is. So what are the next habits? Okay. So that means what I've got to do is, you know, the next steps to the next step, this is the way to do that, to focus on steps, is you just choose and work on the obvious. You just choose and work on the obvious. So start with what is the obvious. What is the obvious step to the next step? And then just start working there. Because this is what I've learned about progress and steps. I didn't think this early on for so many years until I started really looking at what makes things work. What makes things successful? What are the common things that people have? What are the common things that I've had and the things that have been successful? What are the common elements? What I learned this is that steps usually reveal and realign themselves as you take those steps. In other words, you don't know everything and what the steps are to everything and how to do everything at the beginning. You just don't. Be honest with yourself. Usually the way we figure out steps is we take the obvious steps, and then the obvious steps reveal what the next step should be, or they help us to, like, realign our steps. It's amazing to me. The scripture says that men are making plans, but God is directing steps. So here's usually the problem with man. Man is out here making these big, huge plans, but God is working in the steps. This step to the next step to the next step to the next step. And so what you need to do is, you know, choose and work on what's the obvious and then let the rest unfold. So here's your, you know, big idea or the big thing you're working on to continue to grow and accomplish. Just back up and start asking yourself, okay, what is the next step to the next step? What are the next steps to the next steps? And then just work on what is the obvious? Most people are not managing their goals or achieving any goals because they're setting goals, but they're not managing the next step to the next step. So you got to make some incremental changes. And, you know, one of the things is in you know, what you learned in this last teaching you had about, you know, figuring out your creative rhythm is that you use each day for a certain purpose. It's called our creative rhythm. use each day for a certain purpose. When God created the universe, he used one day for, you know, the sun and the moon. And then he just stopped and rested and he quit. And then he used the next day for the next purpose. And then the next day for another purpose. Now, he could have kept working, but he didn't. He could have done it all in one day, but he didn't. And then he worked for a cycle and rested. Every one of us has a creative rhythm. And based on your flow, your best day, your strongest day, the day where you have the most energy, the most, you know, excitement and the most energy, that should be used for whatever your life dynamic is. If you're a creator, use it for creating. If you're a communicator, use it for communicating. Whatever it is, start there and then rotate your week through the other days. Okay? So just the next step to the next step and figure out what your flow is and use each day differently and use each day purposefully. So that leads us to the third principle that I want to talk about. The third principle is this: focus on the task at hand. Focus on the task at hand. So while you're making incremental progress, which is just brainstorming through and figuring out what is the next step to the next step, the next thing, then you got to focus on whatever the task is at hand. This is what is killing us. What kills people with goal management is not focusing on the task at hand that gets the next step to the next step and progressive. So there's four key ways to do this. Focus on this task at hand. Four key ways that you need to think of and you need to develop as a thought process. Number one is only choose a few main things to focus on. Only choose a few main things to focus on. You cannot be working on a lot of things at one time. What you have to do is, neuroscience teaches us this, productivity teaches this, everything teaches us this, that focus on a few things is what's best. So just determine a few main things that you're going to focus on at any given time, on any given day, or during any given season, and focus on those. So choose only a few main things to focus on, okay? Second thing is this, then group tasks together. Group tasks together. This is what we know about producing things and goal management, is try to figure out and group similar tasks together. So you've heard maybe some teaching on goal accomplishment where they taught, you know, do all your emails together, responses at one time. Check your emails and do response at one time. All your phone calls at one time. All things. In other words, what it is that we group tasks together. And the more that we group the tasks together, the more momentum we have, the more production we have, the better, you know, the things flow for our life and in our life. And that really leads to this third one, the third key thing. So number one, choose only a few main things to focus on. Number two, group tasks together. Number three, avoid context switching. Okay, context switching is something I was first introduced to by Todd Herman. And context switching is basically this: it's the amount of time and energy you lose, and the amount of brain power you lose when you switch between two different tasks or two unrelated tasks. And so most people think that they really didn't lose anything, but you actually do lose a percentage of your brain activity, a percentage. And they've actually measured this, and I'm going to give you the measurements on it. They've actually measured that when you switch from one thing to the other thing, and it's not related, in other words, it's not a group task, or it's not focusing on one type of thing, that when you switch between those two things, you lose time that you're not even aware of, because what you do is you lose the time it takes your brain to readjust its focus, readjust its thought patterns, readjust its ability to organize and process. You lose a certain amount of time. So here's the measurement they found, for instance. When you're working on one project, you're giving 100% of your time to that project. And so that means you're losing 0% of your brain, you know, activity. No loss of brain activity because your thoughts are all firing together in a sequence. Together, everything's flowing. Now, what happens when you go to two projects? What happens when you're working between two projects at a time? This is what happens. Your brain gives activity to 40% to one task, 40% to the other task, and you lose 20% of your time, effort, and energy. 20% is lost by your brain having to readjust, refocus. It's when you know when you switch between tasks and you have to kind of orient yourself and you feel kind of like foggy and confused and like, what was I doing? What do I need to do now? You know, how do I need to do? Who is it that I need to talk to or whatever? Every one of you listening know exactly what I'm talking about. You're probably laughing right now, actually. Because what's happening is you're losing time right there. You're stuck in a time warp, if you will. You're stuck in a brain warp. So instead of your brain giving 100% energy and 100% production, it's only given 40% to each task, and you're losing 20%. Now, what happens when you're working between three projects at a time, three main things at a time, at any given moment? Your brain then gives 20% to each one. So 20% to one, 20% to the other, 20% to the other. That means 60%, and you're going to lose 40% of your brain's ability, 40% of your brain's activity, 40% of your clarity, 40% of your focus, 40% of being on thought, 40% of your right thoughts, 40% of clear thinking, 40% of your productivity. You've just lost it. When four projects, they measured it, and with four projects, what happens? Four projects, this is the way your brain is going to give 10% to each project. That's 40%, and you're going to lose 60%. So now anything more than three projects, you're actually losing half of all your time, half of all your brain energy, half of all of your focus, half of all of your clarity, half of everything. Wow. No wonder we don't get things accomplished. No wonder we don't get goals accomplished. No wonder we don't have good goal management. Because we're doing this all the time, or we're letting other people do it by, you know, commanding our time or interrupting us or, you know, controlling or creating a crisis or drama, you know, that turns into trauma, you know, out of this. Now here was the interesting fact. So here's how it works. If you're doing five projects, if you're trying to work on five projects at a time or, you know, within a half period of a day or whatever, your brain gives 5% to each project. So in the end, what does that mean? When you're working on five projects, you're losing 6 hours a day of productivity, 6 hours a day of clarity. No wonder you feel exhausted. No wonder you feel emotionally drained. No wonder you feel like you can't think straight. No wonder you feel like you don't have any clarity. Wow. I've just diagnosed and given you the solution to a major part of your problem at work, home, ministry, whatever it is. So what's the best thing to do based on that? The best thing to do to avoid context switching is to do these first two things I talked about. Choose only a few main things to focus on, one, two at a time. Over a given period of time, maybe over a few days or whatever, three, so that you can maximize your harvesting, and then group tasks together. Do things that are similar and do things that are together. Even if they're on two different projects, but they're similar, do that all together. Do that all together. So in other words, you know, you may not want to do, you know, working on one project and making those calls or emails in the morning and one project doing calls and emails, you know, separate on that. You may want to group the calls and emails, even though they're on a couple of different projects, but it's a group task, and that really helps. So four key things you can do to focus on the task at hand. Number one, choose only a few things to focus on. Number two, group the tasks together. And number three, avoid context switching. And this is the fourth thing, optimize your routine as much as possible. optimize your routine as much as possible. The way to optimize your routine is to select what you're going to work on. Don't let it select you. You own it. You select what you're going to work on. You schedule what you're going to work on. Select it. Have a strategy for getting it done. And then try to use systems. We'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. Try to use systems, okay? So, you know, focus on that task at hand. What's being pushed up in your life right now? Like, what's being pushed to the surface is the most important. Listen, if God promised that he would shed a light on our path, then I think we ought to be trying to figure out what is that light showing? Like, what is that light focusing on? What is that light telling us is in front of us? And we need to focus on that. Okay, so that's the first three. Get clarity, then make incremental progress, and focus on the task at hand. And so here's number four. Number four is work out of your strengths. Work out of your strengths. And then I would say either get rid of or delegate everything else as much as possible. Now, I realize everything's not, you're able to do that. But the more you work out of your strengths, the more you're going to own your goals, the more you're going to own your day. What I mean working out of your strengths, I mean working out of what you know that you're good at, what you feel like you're good at, what you've determined as a result of your of this growth program that are your real strengths, okay? Your life dynamic. Move more and more and more to getting at the center of that. Because one of the things that this really does is it really develops a confidence, and confidence will help you get a lot done. One of the stories I love best in my life is a story about my dad, and you heard it in, you know, some of the other teaching. And my dad and my brother, who's just under me, they were out hunting. They were deer hunting. My dad loved to deer hunt. And they were hunting on this ranch, and this ranch had a lot of, you know, ravines and mountains. And so they're out hunting, and they're on one side of the ravine, and my dad looks over with the binoculars on the other side of the ravine, and he sees a deer. And so he tells my brother, you know, hand me my gun. You know, I'm going to shoot that deer. Well, my brother looks over there, and this deer across this ravine, my brother estimates he's 1,000 yards away. 1,000 yards away. And so my dad said, I'm going to shoot that deer. I'm going to hit that deer. And my brother said, Daddy, there is no way. There's no way you can hit that deer. He said, I can hit that deer. He said, Dad, I mean, you can't hit that deer. You have a 30-06. A 30-06 at best is going to kill a deer at 700 yards. And really, to be effective, you know, you need that deer probably about 500 yards. Dad, that deer's twice as far away as this 30-06 can hit. You just can't hit. And Dad said, you just watch me. And my brother said, I watched Daddy as he leaned over the front hood of his truck. He took his rifle. He steadied his rifle, sat there a minute, breathed, looked through that sight, and fired. And then he got up and he told my brother, I got it. And my brother said, there is no way. My brother said he used some expletives and he said, there's no way. Daddy said, I got him. And my brother looked through the binoculars and sure enough, that deer was down. And my brother said, you have got to be kidding me. And these are the words my dad said. My dad said, that's just how good I am. So we've had this saying for years, and sometimes I'll tell my kids when I do something really good, I'll say, that's just how good I am. See, my dad knew something. That little story there taught me so much about goals. As you know, my dad, he knew what he was there for. He was there to hunt. He was there to get a deer. So he's going to try. He's going to put his effort in to getting his deer. So you're going to get up tomorrow. You're going to work. You're going to do some things. You might as well win. You might as well accomplish some goals. No, have confidence that you're going to get something done. You know, my dad, he knew himself. He knew what he was capable of. You know, he knew where to aim. He knew exactly where to aim because, you know, he had worked on, you know, he knew what he wanted to hit. And when you know what you want to hit, you know where you need to aim. First, you got to figure out what do you want to achieve? What do you want to accomplish? What are you going to get? You cannot know where to aim, what to focus on, what steps to focus on, unless you know what you want to hit. Okay? And my dad had powerful self-talk. He didn't listen to my brother. You got to know who to listen to and who not to. Listen to your strengths. Your strengths let you know you can do this because this is the way you're wired. This is what you're good at. Okay? Now, my dad knew the risk. He knew the worst that's going to happen is I'm going to waste a bullet. I'm going to waste a bullet, you know, because he wasn't afraid to waste a bullet because he realized he didn't see failure as an enemy. You know, John Maxwell says, don't see failure as an enemy. Failure is your friend. Because, you know, Dad knew all the many times he missed, it helped him to make adjustments so in the future he could hit. So it just helps you to be able to make adjustments. And that's the way, you know, when you work out of your strengths, each time you work out of your strengths, when something works, you figure out that's because I'm really good at that. And when something doesn't work, you're able to see, well, maybe I'm good at it, but not good enough at it. Or maybe this is just not my area of strength. I need to delegate it to somebody else, or I need to just not do it, or I need to hire somebody to do it, or whatever the case is. And, you know, my dad knew where to hit. He knew where to hit because he knew where to aim. He knew what he was going after. And so you may need to tell yourself, as you're learning through this process who you are and what your life dynamic is, and as you enter a new season, new year, new quarter, new life, you need to tell yourself, you know, that's just how good I am. Build some confidence. That's not arrogance. That's confidence. That's just how good I am. Okay? So work out of your strengths. That's principle number four. Here's principle number five. Principle number five is this. Stop, drop, and sweet roll. Stop, drop, and sweet roll. Now, you've heard the firemen say, you know, when something's on fire, stop, drop, and roll. This is what I call stop, drop, and sweet roll. It means this. It means what you have to learn to do is pause and celebrate and reward yourself whenever you've accomplished some steps. We don't celebrate ourselves enough. We don't celebrate accomplishment or reward. We're so busy trying to go to the next thing. One of the things I love about the creation story and about our creative rhythm is it says that God did this certain thing on this day, and then he stopped and he said, it is good. God said, that's just how good I am. It is good. And he just stopped and he paused and he celebrated it. So what I'm saying is that you need to, you know, just stop and pause and celebrate, reward yourself with a sweet roll, meaning a snack. You need to, you know, just reward yourself with something. Now, yeah, I encourage you, if you're going to do snacks in the middle of work day or whatever, I found, man, you need some protein. You need something that'll get your blood flowing and clear some mental fog. So sometimes you've got to get up from the desk or get up from the task, walk around, go outside and breathe, get some fresh air because that gets your blood to flowing again and helps clear that mental fog and get some productivity. Because if you stay, you know, constantly working for hours and hours on something, which is our tendency to do, particularly if you're a type A personality, till you get it done, but actually you lose your ability to be creative and productive. So you need to take some pauses and you need to stop, drop, and get a sweet roll, get you a cup of coffee. But don't do that all the time. Don't do that just because you want to take a break. Don't do it until you get something accomplished. Get something accomplished, then reward yourself and celebrate it. One of the things I think you need to do is you need to look back, you know, every week, and you need to say, what were my wins? What was the way I grew? What did we get accomplished? Because what this does is if you don't do that, then all you have is a series of mundane, unaccomplished things, and that'll be discouraging. You'll always be seeing your life and your list as stuff you still haven't got done, stuff you still have to do. That's not the way to live a meaningful life. That's not the way to own. Your list owns you then. You don't own it. The way to own your goals and the way to own your life is by being able to stop, you know, celebrate so that you can keep from being overwhelmed by the undone. Okay? And then, you know, another thing you need to do, let me put it in here, is you need to leave you know, some room for life, because life happens. And if you're trying to schedule every minute of the day, everything in the day, man, you need to leave some room for the spontaneous, room for, you know, the unpredictable, room for the things that are unplanned, or room to just catch up on things. So you know, you may just give an hour where there's like nothing planned, and just give some room for life to happen. Okay. So that's number five. You know, as you're getting steps accomplished, you're getting things accomplished, don't wait to the end to celebrate or the end to reward. Kind of do it all along the way. Do some stop, drop, and sweet rolls all along the way. Number six is this. Number six, learn to use routine and systems. Routine and systems. The way you optimize your results is the more that you can develop some routines and you can develop some systems that you use. Okay? So what routines and systems do is they, you know, they cut down on wasted time and wasted productivity. So some of the systems, we could do a whole class just on this, but I'll just introduce something. When you think of routines and systems, here's what I'm talking about. Here's some things you can just start with real easy. Get a system for time management. Get a system for time management. For those of you on this call, I'm going to send you through Facebook Messenger so you can be looking at it. I'm going to send you a time management system that I developed based off of Momentum. Maybe that'll work for you. Maybe you can kind of use that. You know, if you are doing, you know, a one-on-one sit down with me, we can kind of go over that. But if you don't have it, now you may already have a time management system that works really well for you. That's great. But if you don't, I would encourage you maybe to look at this, use it. It helps you pick out what are your priorities. Based on your priorities, what do you really need to focus on? What is going to be your key projects and what are the key steps to those projects? And then you put those within days of the week. And then at the end of the week, you really look back at what you've accomplished, what, you know, you need to celebrate and the way that you've grown. So it may be helpful to you. So I'm just going to set it up, but you need to have a system of time management because that really helps and that really works. Okay. Can I tell you this? A to-do list is not a strategy for goal management. A to-do list is exactly that, a to-do list. So don't just think when I talk a management or routine that you work off of a to-do list, okay? Another thing, you need to get a system for prioritization, you know, being able to prioritize things and then delegate things. So, you know, prioritization is going to help you. What is 20% of things I really need to be focusing on? I mean, like, what's the things really to the surface? So you can do that by those questions that I said that you can ask yourself when we first started. You can use the VIP system that I use. V means vital, means this, I got to get this done today or this week or this month. V is vital, so I put a V beside it. I means important. If I get the vital things done, then I'm going to get the important things done. These are things that, you know, really need to be, or steps that really need to be, whatever it is, individual things. And then the P is priority. Priority means if I get the vital things done and the important things, then the priority things are going to get, you know, kind of moved up. And then I add an X to mine, VIPX. X means I just need to mark this off. Look, it's not for me. I'm not going to get it done. It's not successful, so I'm either going to just delegate it or just not do it, okay? So now here's a big question that helps me to be able to figure out those things, and it's this question. Is my life worthy of the trade I'm about to make? Because is my life worthy of the trade that I'm about to make? Because for me to spend this time or spend this money or make this commitment or do what it takes for what I, you know, want or get involved in this relationship or thing, I've got to ask myself, is my life worthy of the trade that I'm going to make? Because I'm going to be trading time, money, all of this. Is that the best way to use my time? Is it the best way to use my money? Is it the best way to use my commitments, my relationships? You know, really, is this a trade? I'm making a trade. everything I decide to do on a daily basis, I'm making a choice. I'm trading life. Like, I'm not getting any more of my time back. I'm not getting any more of my age. I'm not getting any more of my health back. I'm not getting any more of that back. So I'm going to make a trade. Is this trade worthy of that? And so I ask myself that question a lot of times. It helps me get some clarity and some priority. And again, one of the things when this routine and system, one of the best things you can do for your routine and system is figure out your creative rhythm and your creative flow and learn how what each day should be used for in your life. And use that day primarily or mainly in that way as much as possible. So that leads us to the seventh thing, okay? So we looked at five, stop, drop, sweet roll. Number six, you know, used routines and systems. Now number seven, and number seven is this, always keep moving the mark. Always keep moving the mark. In other words, what you always keep doing is just keep bumping things up and taking it to the next level. I have four levels in everything I do. And these four levels, I start at what's called basic, then better, then best, then brilliant. So I don't try to do brilliant first. I just do basic first. And then after basic, I'm going to make it better. And then after better, I'm going to make it the best. And then after the best, I'm going to make it brilliant. Now, the best means I'm measuring it against everybody else. Brilliant means everybody else is measuring it against me. I'm only measuring it against my own self and what I've already accomplished. So what you need to do is always keep things moving to that next mark. So just start with base. Most people are trying to do it so brilliant, or I'm not going to do it till I can do the best. You'll never be able to do the best until you did the basic. Just back up and make the next step to the next step. The first step is just the basic. What would it basically take to get this at this place or at this level? So, you know, another thing, I talk a lot about neuroscience because I love the mind and the brain and how it works and how God has wired it. You know, neuroscience teaches us this, that if you settle for a goal too easily, or you settle for a goal that you already know that you can accomplish or that you've already done before, then what happens is your brain automatically refires itself to settle for less. So you'll kind of develop a mindset where you'll always be settling for less, or you'll always be settling for just enough. So that's why you got to keep moving things to the next mark. So what type things right now are you doing? So figure out the main things that are like the 20% things that you're really good at, you're really getting growth from, they're really working, they're really good, they're really making gains, and then just what are the next few things you could do to take those to the next level? This next month, this next quarter, you know, just bump it up. Just take it to the next level. Don't get overwhelmed by, you know, brilliant. Just take it to the next level. So, you know, just a simple goal, you know, but if you always keep the goal simple, then your brain is just going to trigger itself and you're subconsciously going to be thinking and you're just always going to be settling for less. I like what Les Brown, he's a motivational speaker and teacher, and he says this, it's better to aim high and miss than it is to aim low and hit. Too many people are aiming low because they know they can hit it. But successful people aim high knowing they may miss it. But it's okay to miss because if I miss, now I know how to make readjustments so that I can hit it. Okay? I like what Papa John Maxwell says. He says this, growth is the only guarantee that tomorrow is going to be better. The only way I can guarantee that my tomorrow is going to be better is for me to grow. Because when I grow, tomorrow automatically becomes better. My thinking becomes better. My actions become better. My character becomes better. My knowledge becomes better. So the only way, if you really want to make sure that tomorrow is better, is to make sure you're always growing. You're always moving the mark, first for yourself and then for the other things you do, okay? And so, you know, if you make the mark and you miss it, so what? You know, don't change the dream, change the date. So what? It didn't happen by the date you put down for your goal. change the date. Don't change the dream. Don't abandon the dream. Don't abandon the goal unless it's, you know, a goal you shouldn't have in the first place and life's trying to tell you that. Life's trying to speak to you. God's trying to speak to you. The universal laws are trying to speak to you. Circumstances are trying to speak to you to say, hey, what are you doing? This is not something really you should be doing or need to be worrying about or working on. It's not really producing anything for you. It's not really meaningful to you. Okay? Maybe you need to delegate it. Maybe you need to get a system, something else. Okay? So here's the powerful thing that we learn if we put these seven principles, as we close, as we put these seven principles into play. Now, there's so much more I could talk to you about, but look, just take these seven things. If you will just take these second things, first, they will transform the way you think, because most people do not think about goal management in these areas, in these ways. And you won't be a goal setter, you'll be a goal accomplisher because you're a goal manager. You'll own your goals and you'll own your day. Each day, each week, each month, each year, you'll own it. Okay? So when we accomplish our goals, what happens in this brain wiring is that future success becomes easier for us. Because our brain starts to tell us now that challenges aren't so big and so bad. You know, we view experiences as positive that before we thought maybe were negative. We don't fear obstacles as much. Well, what am I saying? It's one of the ways to create more momentum in your life. You can create more momentum in your life by accomplishing goals. Because when you accomplish goals, not only do you have a sense of satisfaction, not only do you have some productivity that enhances your life, but it wires you to think in a different way. It wires your brain to start to think in a more successful way. And it accepts challenges easier and views experiences in a different way and doesn't fear obstacles the same way. So it's a very, very powerful way. So goal management is vital to success, not only for production, but just to be a successful person. It helps you think successfully. It helps you feel successfully. You know what it does? It causes you to start to feel, you know what? That's just how good I am. I mean, that's just how good I am. All right, so I'm going to open up to questions. And so what I want to allow you to do